Get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, hey, bonga fish, angari. Glory to God! I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
Say, I'll never be poor.
Ah! Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
All right. I feel like I should discuss some personal things with you from the Word of God that I advise you to pay close attention to. They are very important. And when you pay attention to these things, you know, it's the Word of God that you receive that makes you grow in Christ. How do you grow physically? The food you eat. If you have a child that you don't feed well, the growth of that child will be stunted. In other words, the child will be so thin, ugly looking. Of course, you know, not every child will be big physically, but the skin should tell. You know what I'm talking about? The skin should tell, should reveal what he's been feeding on. And then, of course, the activeness of that child, the intelligence of that child will show that this child has been well fed. The same thing spiritually. If you're well fed spiritually, it will show. It will show. People will see it. That's why those who are who know the Word of God, when you meet with them, there's something different about them. When you start talking with them, there's a kind of boldness that they have. The Bible says that wisdom makes the face of the possessor, paraphrasing it now, to shine. So when you have the wisdom of God, it causes your face to shine, like not like physical shining, but he's trying to say that your countenance will shine because you have wisdom. In other words, talking about the spiritual aspect of it. Be bold. You are unruffled. Life is like nothing to you. Why? You have dominated it. I want to talk to you about something. And before I tell you, I want to ask you a question. How many of you right now, you think that you are actually in God's perfect will for your life? How many of you think as you are right now, that you are in God's perfect will for your life? You know that what you're doing right now, or where you are right now, or the life you're living right now, it's God's perfect will. God, I mean, when I get to face God, God will say, you are just in my perfect will. You know it. Such that even when an angel appears and says, you are not in God's perfect will, you say, no. Don't tell me, I know. So how many of you're sure that you are in God's perfect will for your life? This is God's perfect will for my life. Can you raise your hand? If I go further to ask you more questions, those of you that are raising your hand. Okay, I love it when you are honest. The reason some of you are not raising your hand is because you're not sure. You're not sure. Not that you could have raised your hand, but you don't want to. You want to be sure. You are not actually sure. Okay? And for a few others, you may say, I know I'm not. Alright? And don't misunderstand me. To be in God's perfect will does not mean to be a pastor. So if you're a pastor, you are therefore in God's perfect will. 1,000 times, no, there are those who are pastors, but they are not working in God's perfect will. In fact, there are those who are pastors that God did not ask to be pastors. And a few of them, we end up in hell. Because God didn't send them. Okay, so, to be in God's perfect will does not mean to be a pastor or a preacher. Okay. According to the Word of God, the Bible reveals 3 phases of God's will. 3 phases. And here it is where I want you to listen so you understand these 3 phases. Then you'll be able to know where you are. Turn to Romans chapter number 12. Let's begin from there. the second verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, transfigured, that's the word. Okay? By the renewing of your mind. Anakaino, that's the Greek word for the transformed there. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to take that again. Maybe you didn't see something. You see it now. And be not conformed to this world. He's trying to say that don't be like this world. But be ye transformed. Transformed. Metamorphosis. The Greek actually is metamorpho, where we get metamorphosis from, to be changed. By the renewing, and I said it, anakaino, or anakainosis. You know, like you have verb and noun, do so also in Greek. Okay? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, one, good. And acceptable, two, acceptable. And perfect will, three. Perfect will. These are the three phases of God's will. We have the good will, we have the acceptable will, and then we have the perfect will of God. These are the three phases. Now, there is nothing like I'm not in any of them. As we are speaking right now, you are in one of them. One of those phases. You are presently in one of those phases. And I want to tell you more about it. What is the good will of God? The good will of God means those things that are good with God and for man. You understand? Like those, they are not bad in themselves. It's good will of God because God says, well, it's good. For instance, you go to the university. That's good. You went to secondary school. That's good. I mean, it's not bad to be educated. For instance, maybe you buy yourself some new clothes. That's good. It's not bad. At least it reflects the glory of God. You put some good food on your table. That's good. It's not bad. I mean, they are good. And then you plan to travel abroad to school there because, you know, more opportunities over there than here in this country. That's good. All those things are good will of God. When you plan big for yourself, you make your children go to the best schools, you know, because the money is there. You make them, you get extra teachers for them to come and teach them, or you want your child to learn music, so you bring a teacher to come teach music at home. All those things are good. I mean, they are not bad. They are good. But that's what they are. Good will of God. Then there is another one. I'll come back to that other, that first one. Then the second one is the acceptable will of God. The acceptable will of God means that what you do that God accepts is acceptable to God. Is acceptable. Let me show you something that will help you. Can you turn to Book of Numbers? Let's take this thing deeper now. Turn to Book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 22. Isn't that interesting? Numbers chapter number 22. Numbers chapter number 22. And I want you to follow this story. Now, before now, the children of Israel, like you know, God used them. No, not used them. God helped them to part the Red Sea. And because of those wonders that God did for them, everybody became afraid of them, especially the nations around, the enemies. They became so afraid of them. So when they saw the children of Israel, they said, those guys, their God is powerful. Because of how Pharaoh, the big Pharaoh, the great Pharaoh, was destroyed. And they thought, if Pharaoh could be destroyed by their God, then that God is powerful. So everybody became afraid. But there are still a few of them that were not afraid. They felt, it doesn't matter. Their God just fought for them at that time. We have our gods too. And so, those ones went ahead, fought with them, and were destroyed. Now, these particular people, I want to show you something about them now. The children of Israel were about to pass through. You remember now they are on a journey. They've not arrived the promised land. God was still taking them through the wilderness. Then they came into the nations. They had to pass some nation to get to where they are going. So a few of them said, no, you can't pass here. We don't want you guys. You, without your God, that is destroying everybody. So this one, these people now are one of those people that said, you cannot pass here. But I want to show you the smart thing that their king did. So here I want to bring out something, and this will provoke your thoughts. And I know you're smart. So let's look at it. Let's look in it. Verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward, Numbers chapter number 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, on this side Jordan by Jericho, and Balak, a king by the name Balak, okay, that's their king, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was the king of the Moabites at that time. So don't miss the story. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam. Now Balaam is a prophet. Bela. So I'm trying to differentiate it. Balak is the king. Balaam was a prophet. The prophet of God. Now, so Balak sent message to Balaam, the prophet of God. And see the smart thing he wanted to do. He knew he couldn't fight them. So he sent message to the prophet of God, Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, alright, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Oh boy. Smart guy. He said, I just need you to come and help me curse them. Why? Because the people are blessed. And he knew that as long as they were blessed, no evil. Do you get it? So he said, what I want you to come and do is come and curse them for me. So when they are cursed, we'll catch them. We'll be able to fight them and win. Are you getting what is going on? That's what he said. Now there's an important truth there. In fact, two important truths. Number one is that a prophet, thank you Lord, a prophet is the one that when he blesses, anyone he blesses becomes blessed. Because you see, a prophet is the mouthpiece of God. Is the mouth of God. Like I told you that some things will be happening here today. And it's going to be happening by words. I'm going to be saying some powerful things into your life. And those things will take effect immediately. Say hallelujah. You know that those testimonies that you've come back with are testimonies of apostles said. Because God honors the word of a prophet. The prophet is the mouthpiece of God. He speaks for God. That's one important truth that I wanted to see. Although that's not where we are going. But I just wanted to see that. The second thing is this. Those guys were blessed. I'm blessed. If the children of Israel that were not born again were blessed, much more me with the Holy Ghost on the inside. No wonder the Bible says that he had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. He's talking about Apostle Victor Peters. My name is on it. Glory to God. I'm so blessed. Verse 7. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands. They came with rewards, maybe a check or something, you know, that kind of thing. And they came unto Balaam the prophet and spake unto him the words of Balak the king. And he said unto them, hey, stay here this night, and I'll bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Do you know what is going on here? This king sent his chief. He said, go there. Go with this reward. And give it to him. And tell him that I want him to come and help me curse these people. okay, and give him all this reward and tell him that I will do more. And so this chief, you know, honorable people, you can meet the prophet, having the president, you know, president's representative come to his house. You understand? And then when they came, that's what he's showing us now. They came, they arrived there. The king has sent us to you. Ah, from the king. Ah, that kind of honor. Wow. And then they made known what they wanted. So he said, okay, you know what? Like, I will tell you. No, I want to listen to God first. So he's telling them, he said, let me listen to God overnight. Just stay. I want to listen to what God will say overnight. So that's what is going on now. All right. Are you following it? Interesting. Then that night, verse 9, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. For they are blessed. Boy, I'm blessed. Ah! Jesus. You cannot curse the one that is blessed. I'm blessed. Listen, this is why you should not be afraid as a Christian. Nobody can put any curse on you. Because you're blessed. God blessed you. So anybody trying to put a curse on you is wasting his time. Because you cannot curse the one that... You just saw it. You can't curse the one that is blessed. Oh God. Some goodies. But look at this. This man of God knew that he was not supposed to do this. He didn't even there are some things you don't have to be asking God. The Lord, should I go? What do you know? You know that you're not supposed to. These are God's people. They are blessed. You're not even supposed to. But because of the rewards, because of the honor, you can imagine chiefs in my house. Huh? So that got him. This is an opportunity to be more influential. I mean, the king can give me connection. I mean, you know, they will say that prophet that prophesied and things happened. All right now. Then God said, don't go with them. Now you will think, watch. I'm trying to show you God's will. The phases. All right now. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now verse 13. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou seest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me this house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. Does that not sound right? That's beautiful, I mean. But you know what? When those people stood up, when they wanted to leave, he said, wait first. Look at it. That's the next verse 19. He says, wait first. Now therefore, I pray thee, tarry ye also here this night. Wait this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Do you know this house? Some people have married the wrong husband, the wrong wife. The first time they wanted to do it, God said, stop. Don't go in that direction. But because the guy's heart was after the girl. So, you know, there are times that you can tell God anything you say I should do, I will do. But your heart is not actually right. You know. God said, don't do this. Okay. But you are still thinking about the girl. You are still, the thing is still on your heart. Until you ask God again, Lord, is she my wife? And then God says yes. Say, I didn't hear well the first time. You know what that is? It's called the acceptable will of God. You know, if you don't study about God, you'll be bothered. How come God functions like this sometimes? Mostly, those that marry based on attraction first, as they met the girl, they just say, I just like the way she's a Christian, she's serious. And so, that's the first thing that attracted them to the girl. And then later on, they got a word of confirmation and says, she's your wife. Usually, mostly, they are in acceptable will of God. So, but God said, she's my wife. No! Your mind was already fixed. First. And so, you now came to ask God. So God accepts it. After all, marriage is for this earth. You think, some of you think marriage is that important, the almighty important thing. Not necessarily. Those are earthly things. And maybe I should use this opportunity to correct some. I've corrected a few of you before, maybe when you speak to me on phone, but I want to correct this publicly now. You have to understand that it's not true that there is one lady that God has assigned from heaven. Just that one lady or one man. Just that one man. If you don't marry that one, then you are finished. That is not true. I know that might have been preached to you, but it's not true. It's not correct. Otherwise, if that one person dies out of carelessness, or maybe something happened to him, that means you will never marry in life. What do you think? That's not how God operates. Let me tell you what God does. On very rare occasion, does God actually plan things that much, that strictly that way. On very rare occasion. Mostly, if you live in Nigeria, and you've not traveled abroad, and you are staying in Nigeria, Ajegunle, precise, to be precise, in Lagos. How many of you know Ajegunle? Oh, what? I don't know what it is like now, but it used to be very rough. And that's where you were born, because your parents were not rich. Tell me, if you didn't leave Ajegunle, the husband that you marry, no matter how serious you are as a Christian, no matter how spiritual you may be, the husband you marry will be another fellow spiritual guy in Ajegunle. God will organize the one that can match your calling or your journey or the one that you can fit into his calling. He will organize that one to come your path and he will bless that union. Now let's assume that your parents are rich and they decide to fly you abroad and you stay there. Over there, God will look for a guy. Now, it seems like I'm talking to the ladies a lot, but I mean both of them. A guy or a girl that is spiritual, that can match your vision, his plan for your life, and give that one to you. He will never tell you have to move, except in your own videos that you're watching. He will never tell you that you have to move from Ajegunle, from there, and come to Ajegunle to get a guy. He will never tell you that. Why? Because God always has more than one options. But the thing is, he will always give you the best. There are many bests, so he will just give you the best that is closer to you. Do you get what is going on? Sometimes, maybe because the other fellow is crying abroad, he's crying, and so something just make him come to Nigeria, and then you put now meet, and I say, oh, God had to bring him all the way. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. But because God, he's so wonderful. Now, I said that to say this. So that sometimes, because some people delay themselves. Don't waste your time. Don't delay yourself. The one that God brings to you, as long as God is saying, go, that's the one. That's it. And make sure that you don't ask God based on your feelings first. I have feeling for the girl, for the guy. I already love the guy. Lord, is that my wife? Is that my husband? You may get a yes. And that will not be his perfect will. That's what we just read. The first time God said, do you think God is not stable? Is this God that changes? He says yes today, he says no tomorrow. No, that's not God. The first time God has said, don't go. You were not supposed to go back to ask him, should I? Going back to ask him, should I, means that his heart was there. He really, those rewards, his heart was really there. If it's someone whose heart was not in the reward, he didn't have to. In it, what is wrong the first time is always wrong the second time with God, and always wrong all the time. Do you get it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Are you getting God's acceptable will now? You should be able to know where you belong. Is it God's good will? For instance, some people are in school. They are here right now. They have no business to be here. But they are here. Why are they here? Because OAU is a great school. You know, my uncle came to OAU and I loved it. My brother, OAU, finished from OAU and I really liked it. My auntie, my sister. So, the family, we've always, all of them, they've been here. So, now it's my turn and I knew that it's OAU. Those are good, God's goodwill. They are good, but not necessarily perfect. Not necessarily. I will help you today. Just relax. By the time you are leaving this place, you will know for sure, oh God, oh, I think I know where I belong. The danger of living in God's goodwill, the danger of living in God's acceptable will, they are dangers. Otherwise, we don't need to be teaching you. There are dangers there. Listen, God can only protect you where he has sent you to. If you can only be covered where God asks you to be, because where he asks you to be is where his protection is. Don't you get it? When God gives you a vision, he supplies the provision. That's how he does it. If he didn't send you and you're doing it, then you have to source for the vision, the provision yourself. And that's why some people struggle, and in the course of it, they die. Because it's easy to die in God's goodwill. You die there. You know, one time, God told a minister of God and said, many of my children live and die without ever entering into my perfect will for their lives. God. That means many of his children have no reward. Many of them. Perfect will. There's something called God's perfect will. When you are over in God's perfect will, you have arrived. I mean, the kind of confidence that you have. And hear me good. Talking about God's perfect will, like I said earlier, it doesn't mean that you have now become a pastor, you are now God's perfect. That's not the point. God's perfect will simply means what you were designed to do. Do you understand? What you were made for. I mean, there's no manufacturer that will make something. Look at this microphone now. It was designed for something. Now, if you take this and use it to pound yam or pepper with those small, you know, and then you begin to use it because it looks like that handle for pounding. Then you begin to use it to pound. What are you doing? This is not what this thing was meant for. This is not what it's meant for. You will destroy it. It will not serve its purpose. This becomes useless. You make it a photocopy of the original. The original will do the job better than this one. But this one has become a photocopy now. Because this is not what it was for originally. You see, that's why many people have become photocopies in their lives. They are role model. They are photocopying the guy that is going in the way of hell. They are photocopying the guy. Life becomes useless. Listen, if you're someone like me that likes to think deep, I think deep a lot. I meditate a lot. A lot. With awe. Sometimes I just think, I sit down and say, hey, I don't want to do anything for God that he didn't send me. It's a waste of time. How will I be doing something for him and he didn't send me? It should just be a waste of time. That means I'll just waste all the time. Because I know I have to put a lot into what I'm doing now. You know, a lot of sacrifice. A lot of things you have to give up. Because, you know, I have a call as a man of God. So I have to give up a lot of things. And after giving up everything, what if he didn't send me this? just wasted life, wasted journey. But thank God I got the answer He sent me. I mean, His perfect will. I want to go abroad to be one of the best scientists. One of the best. Did He send you? Because you have to know there is a difference between a Christian. This needs to be clear. This needs to be clear. There's a difference. We are two groups in this world. The group A, the Christians, and those who are not Christians. Does God have plans for those who are not Christians? Yes, He does. I want to give you an example. Pharaoh was not a child of God. Was not the person of God. I'm talking about Pharaoh, Egypt. The Pharaoh of Egypt was not. But God had planned for him. What was God planned for him? God said, through you I will show forth my glory. God used the guy as a specimen to demonstrate His power. That was His calling. The president of this nation is not born again. But do you know God has planned for him? God, His own calling is to be the president. There are scientists right now that are running up and down. They must discover something that will make this whole thing work better. They must discover something. For instance, somebody discovered the TV. God puts His hand on that one to find it out. Somebody discovered the guitar, the keyboard, the drum set, and so on and so forth. God had to put His hand on them to make those things happen. Not because they are going to go to heaven, but because that's their part in this world. Those things are to be put in place for God's children, for our convenience. Do you understand? For our convenience and for the spread of the gospel. If nobody had discovered the speakers, the microphone, how could I be communicating like this? We have our messages recorded. Somebody discovered this. And so we can record our messages. We can put them on the internet. Somebody had to be steered somewhere. Not because the guy is born again, but that's his path to fulfill. And after he fulfilled his path, oh, Kari Haksombra Aktogishtakaste. God throws him off. Brothers and sisters, there's a difference between an instrument and a vessel. When you use your instruments, after using it, you don't thank the instruments. When you use your fork and your spoon to eat, after using them, your cutlery, I mean, do you stop to say thank you so much, cutlery? They made the food go into your mouth. They did a great job. Without them, you probably would not be able to eat. The plates that carried the food did a great job. But after all of that and their efforts, you don't stop to thank them and say, thank you so much, fork. Thank you, spoon. Thank you, plate. You don't do that. Why? Because they are just instruments. When you are done with the instruments, you drop them. That's how people are in the world that are not born again. They are instruments in the hands of God. After He is done with them, He drops them. They've done their part. But we are vessels, glory to God. And the Bible says there are vessels unto honor. There are vessels unto dishonor. One day I will tell you about that. But we are all vessels. That's why the Bible shows that every one of us, we have the praise of God. Every one of us. Either you lived your life in winning souls or you don't, you will still be praised. For even accepting Jesus at all. Every one of us, Christians, we are vessels. And we will be thanked. Why? Because we are not instruments. We are vessels in the hand of God. We will be rewarded. That's what the Bible says. And you don't want to be in the group of those that will be instruments used and dropped. It's a great honor to be a Christian. It's a great honor to have the Holy Spirit fill you. It's a great honor. But you see, you can't just live your life and you just waste it. No. God's perfect will is the highest. And that's exactly what you were born to do. That's where you belong. God's perfect will. When you find that out, oh boy. Life will start. Let me tell you. When you are functioning in God's perfect will, nothing can destroy you. Nothing. How many of you have read about Moses? If you ever studied about Moses, have you never wondered, as powerful as Pharaoh was, Every time Moses had the boldness to stand in front of the Pharaoh and say, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh did not order the people to execute him. Every time he came, these 10 times, he came back disturbing this king. And Pharaoh was angry every time but couldn't do anything. Why? The guy was ordained to do it. And when you are doing what you were born to do, nothing destroys you. How come some people's lives have been cut short? Two people. One is a footballer. The other one is a footballer. Both of them are doing well. But how come this one died young? He probably was not supposed to be there. The other one was called to fulfill that, to fill that role. This one was not. This one only came in because he felt he knew how to play football. And he liked somebody else there. A role model, role model. So he decided to come in. And so he came in. And he didn't live long. Why? He was not supposed to be there. But the other guy, as bad as that fellow is, you even called him a sinner. The guy was wasting money. The debauchery, the rest. But the guy lived long. He's not even a Christian. That's the role he was called to fulfill. You see, when you function where God puts you, longevity is certain. You are heavily protected. Heavily. And every time Moses faced Pharaoh and said, let my people go, Pharaoh could not form in his mouth. He couldn't form it. He couldn't say, kill him. He couldn't. He couldn't come out of his mouth. Why? The guy, Kalasida, had become a principality. Do you understand? Can I show you some real stuff? Okay, maybe let's just go a little bit further down before I tell you some things. Verse 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, this is the second time they came now, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God, to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass. You see, he too. You see, he really wanted to go. His ass. See how God spoke with him as though God cooperated with him. Like, I've accepted. If God ever tell you I've accepted, you are functioning in his acceptable will. Because God does not change. What he said the first time is it. David said, once have you spoken, twice have I heard. What he says the first time, don't go back saying, Lord, did I hear you very well? What are you saying about it? You may get a yes. God does not confuse. Now let's read on. Okay, verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled. I thought God said, should go. That's to show that God did not send him. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. The angel of the Lord. Not every time you see the angel of the Lord, sometimes they don't refer to ordinary angels. They refer to the Holy Spirit himself. How do you know? When you study, the context will show you whether it's talking about an ordinary angel or the Holy Spirit. Because the word angel means messenger. So when they talk about the angel of the Lord, it means the messenger of God's presence. And sometimes the Holy Spirit acts as the messenger of God. Do you understand? So you know from the context, when you read it, you know that this is the Holy Spirit, not ordinary angel. Are you getting what is going on? Mm-hmm. Aha. And the angel, verse 23, and the house saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the house turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the house to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a part of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the house saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place, where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the house with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee? Ah, hey, as he's talking, that thou hast smitten me these three times. Actually, this is the second time that we saw that an animal is speaking in the Bible. So, you see, Balaam must have been like, huh? well. Verse 29. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would dare there were a sword in my hand, for now I would have killed thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont, King James English, to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine house these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the house saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she turn from me, surely now also I have slain thee and saved thy life. You see, that has helped him. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit, said unto Balaam, go with the man, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. You say, why is God doing like this? It's because the guy, even as the guy is saying, please, even though, why was he asking? The moment he opened his eyes and the angel said, I would have killed you. Ah, in fact, no more negotiation. This way, let's go back home. He was still there, if you want me not to go. You see, his heart was not right. That's how some people are. Lord, is your will, I'll do. Anything you ask me to do is what I'll do. But in their hearts, they know. Lord, if you ask me to go to Abuja, it's Abuja I will go. If you ask me to go to Sokoto, and then the man of God says, don't go to Abuja. In the other, they say, yes, sir. Anything you ask me to do, I will do. But in the other, they are thinking, money in Abuja. The opportunities. You see? Yeah, they are beginning to think it. Until they are not thinking, but sir, let me tell you something about Abuja. Because you need to know. In Abuja, they promised to give me this, the man of God said, are you serious? They promised to give you that. All right, let's pray. Grace will cover you. Now they now get there and get disgraced. And I say, oh, my Lord, you see, I should go. No! The one the man of God said the first time is what? Let me tell you. Somebody sent me a message and said to me on WhatsApp and said, sir, I want you to bless this thing that I'm about to do. Now, when that message came, the moment I read the message, my response was, no, don't do it. Because I saw there's danger there. So I typed, no, don't do it. But then, the Holy Spirit said, he didn't ask you whether I should do it. He said, bless it. So I deleted, no, don't do it. Then I said, it shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, because when you're working with God, you have to learn some things. You don't just jump to talk. That's just how the Holy Spirit is. It's a perfect gentleman. Some things, if you don't ask him, he will not say. You know, Holy Spirit, but you are here all the time. You are in deep trouble, but he's not saying anything. Then you now turn to him and say, Lord, please, can you tell, he will reveal to you. Now, God said, he didn't ask you whether I should do it. There's a difference, and I understand the difference. He said, bless it. So I blessed it. So I canceled. I ensured that the other one was deleted. You know, when you delete before somebody sees it, the person will not see. We only see maybe message deleted or something. So it was deleted. Until he comes to me and says, should I do it? I will now tell him, don't do it. You have to understand the difference. You don't say everything as a man of God. You don't say everything. You only say what you are permitted to say. And that's how some people have lost the anointing. They don't understand that you don't say everything. You must in your life learn to differentiate between God's good will, God's acceptable will, and God's perfect will. and the place to be where you can enjoy your life to the full with boldness, confidence, and everything working out is God's perfect will. In God's acceptable will, you may be rich there. You may even be happy there. You may be jumping around, but you are not secure. One. Secondly, you are doing your own thing. All you have on this earth is all you have. When you face God, you have nothing else. No reward as a Christian. So you find out for yourself. Somebody say, well, how do I find out? I want to tell you. Now, usually, when people call on God and shout, please tell me, what was I born to do? Let me tell you what usually follows. Confusion. They get more confused. The Satan will speak and say, I will tell you. The Satan is speaking. Is that your voice, oh God? No wonder I've been thinking about it. Why they are still their mind too will speak. Because some people don't understand that there are different voices in the world according to the Bible. Your mind has his own voice. Your body has his voice. Your feeling has his voice. Satan has his voice. And in the midst of all these voices, God has his voice. I don't know whether you've ever been by yourself and you are hearing a voice that sounds like your friend's voice calling your name by yourself. And you're just, that sounds like, it just came gently like a friend's voice. The voice of those that live around you, their voices also, they come sometimes. All these voices, then you have to pick God's voice to differentiate. That's why usually when God wants to tell you what you were born to do, usually, mostly, he doesn't do it using voice. And that's where people get confused. He doesn't speak with voice. He doesn't speak and say, my son. And then you hear the shaking. It's like, that's Almighty God. Like one time I was in a long time ago. I was in the hospital for someone. And then they had something came up on TV. And that guy came, you know, wearing some robe. He wanted to come and deceive this other guy. And he says, I am your Lord, your God. Don't do what you are doing now. Because he had interest in that thing. I am your Lord. And that other guy said, if you are my Lord, if you are my Lord and my God, remove the veil from your eye. The guy went ahead and removed. He said, you, he took it. Because he thought he could deceive him. You know, people like voices. Oh, didn't you read it? Moses was there in that bush and God spoke out of the fire and God said, Moses. God doesn't do that anymore. If he ever does that, it's on very rare occasion. Somebody say because he loved those people specially. No. Incidentally, when God speaks like that, those he speaks like that too are babies. God does not speak to mature people like that. If you ever hear, you hear God's voice audibly, and you now say, God loves me. There's a way God speaks to me audibly. No. The reason why God can speak, will speak to a Christian audibly that much is because he knows that you are strong-headed. And he had to come down to your level to speak in such a way that you will not forget it. The whole place shook and fear gripped you. And when he was speaking, that fear will still be there. I will not go in that direction. I heard God the way I heard God. You see, but usually God doesn't talk to us like that. Everything about us under the New Testament is love and grace. When he wants to speak to you, he speaks gently. He speaks. Now, back to what I was saying, because some of you are really, you really wanted to hear. God does not reveal to you his plan or purpose for your life mostly using voices, because he knows it will confuse you. So what does he do? He imprints it in your spirit. Every great people that are working with God and in God's perfect will for their lives, they will tell you the same thing I'm telling you. If you ask them, how did God speak to you? They will tell you. First, he imprints it in your spirit. Then he can now follow that thing. He can now follow it up with visions, dreams, prophecies. He will follow that up But he would not originally speak to you with voice, because he knows that when the voice comes, when you hear another higher voice, you will throw that one away. So he doesn't do that. Say, how do I get the imprint? Very simple. You can never get know what God has called you to do except you fellowship with him. Can I tell you this? The more you are around God, the more you are around his word. For instance, you are in church right now. The more you are hearing God's word, the more in your spirit it will be unveiled to you what you were asked to do. What God, what you were really made for. It will be coming bit by bit. Gradually you see one clear part of it. Say, ah. Then another day you see another clearer part of it. Then another day you see more. That's what has brought me here. That's what has brought many people where they are. Because gradually, God doesn't reveal everything at once. Make no mistakes, he doesn't reveal everything at once. If he revealed everything at once, you will not walk by faith anymore. He doesn't. Gradually, one day you are just by yourself worshipping, lost in worship, and then you see something else. You can't explain it, but it's deepening in your spirit. This is how you get this more and more. And then he can now follow it up with prophecy. A man of God tells you, give you prophecy. But that prophecy is something you already know in your spirit. He's backing it up. He's following it up. You see that? You study. You got something in the word of God. Woo! He's backing something up. What has been printed in you. That's why I tell those who sing. And you say you are singing gospel music. What you're singing, if you're not in constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it will not be gospel music you're singing. Your inspiration will be coming from what you are listening to. The only thing is, you only change the words there. Jesus, God, love, word, blessing. You just be changing the word. So when they are listening to your song, it's not going to minister to anybody. They will only be nodding. Ah, and the thing is sweet though. Just like. But when a gospel musician, a gospel artist is in constant fellowship with the Spirit of God, the inspiration will come from that realm. That's why there are some musicians. Do you listen to Sinatra? Do you listen to Frank Edwards? These are people that they fellowship. Go listen to them. You think because you see Frank Edwards show up, like, go and listen to him. Let him tell you how much he fasts and how much he prays. That's why their song, you can't listen to those ones. You sit down, you're listening to their song, it goes right into your spirit. I'm not talking about something that is affecting your soul, like you're hearing from the secular music chat. Those ones are for your soul, that you are just moved. Oh, baby. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something else that will lead you to worship. You're listening to such music, you just want to burst in tongues. You're just there praying with tongues. You know, when I'm driving in my car and I'm just listening to worship, I love to listen to worship. And as I'm driving, I'm praying with tongues. Because, you know, I'm scared. And you know, every once in a while, when if you have your window wind down, nobody is passing, we just be looking at you. What is he saying? He's talking and driving. No, the guy is praying with tongues and driving. You are full of the Spirit that way. Because of that worship, they are coming from the place of fellowship. It's different. Those ones who are not in constant fellowship, they sing, they will fade away. It's a matter of time. It's just a matter. Go and find out. They will fade away, or they will finally turn to secular. They say, you know, I used to be gospel, but I just felt that I'm dynamic. So I want to do other things too. I'm dynamic. So, you know, I sing love song for marriages. I sing up. You see, he has become confused. Dynamic. He's not dynamic. No more inspiration. Oh, Ratazika Shatabasadiga. See, I would never miss it in my life. See, I refuse to miss it. If in your spirit, as you're seated right now, you already know in your heart what God is prompting you about where you belong in his kingdom, and then you are deceiving yourself to cover it up, what you're doing is deception. You're only deceiving. You cannot deceive God. It's yourself you're deceiving. I'll advise you, the best thing is to begin to work in that area. Work with God and work on it, so that he can promote you in this and take you higher, so you can be the blessing that he has planned for you to be. in his kingdom? Can it be God's perfect will for a Christian to go into acting in Nollywood? Can that be God's perfect will? Brothers and sisters, emphatically no. You say, are you saying that God cannot call somebody to Nollywood to go and preach to them? He doesn't do it like that. He doesn't. Saying God can send somebody there and you go to the entertainment world, you now go and influence them, you go with your own gospel, they will end up influencing you. Listen, that place is too dirty. God doesn't expose his children that way. If God ever make you come in contact with them, he would have trained you to the level where when you meet them, you'll be able to dominate them. Didn't you read about Lot? Abraham one day asked Lot, was talking to Lot, he said, choose anywhere you want to go. If you go this way, I'll go this way. If you go this way, I'll go this way. Just choose. Lord said, sir, I prefer the other side. Which other side is that? Among sinners. The Sodomites. These are a bunch of sinners. He said, I prefer that side. He thought he can. But the Bible says Lord was a righteous man. But he looked the whole place green. He saw the glory in Sodom. Huh? Wow. Money there. So he thought this is an opportunity to outdo my uncle. He went there. When he went there, he could not dominate them. The Bible reveals under the New Testament that day by day, his soul was vexed. He saw the sin that the people were committing. His soul was vexed from day to day. But he couldn't dominate. He couldn't conquer them. He had not been trained and raised. All his life, he was following Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. He was the one with the faith. If Abraham had gone there, Abraham would have conquered that place. But Lot could not. So he went in there. How did he live? He left with nothing. He even lost his wife. Where did he end up? In a cave. You see? So he said, Lord, God, you can send me into the entertainment world. God knows. I will influence them. I will use my... Okay. You will become like them until you become a wreck and you are heading for hell yourself. God doesn't do things like that. He doesn't. God's plan, his plan is always for eternity. If God ever asks you to do something, let me tell you what he usually has in mind. Eternity. For instance, if God tells you this is your wife, Maria, you know what God is thinking? He's thinking of eternity. Whatever you, both of you are going to do must result in something that will bring about expansion in his kingdom for eternity. The reason he asks us to come to church, what is he looking at? Eternity. There are those that will teach later. They taught here now. They will still teach in eternity. Because there are those that still need to be brought up. Some Christians will just come into Christ when rapture will take place. So we still need to teach them. To let them learn about the things of the kingdom. So God always has in focus eternity. Anything he gives you, he always looks at eternity. If he gives you money, he's looking at how you can use that money for your eternity. That's his focus. He doesn't work short. So God can never tell you to go into Nollywood or Bollywood or Hollywood and say, go and influence my son. Go there and influence them with the gospel that I have given you. That's the devil. The devil is trapping you. How many of you understand so far? Do you get how you could? So you cannot come into God's perfect plan until you fellowship with him. When you come into constant fellowship, you come in like this. You gather with us. You hear the word of God. You study the Bible. Your fellowship, this thing will be unveiled to you from time to time. What you as a person was called to do, what you were born to do will be unveiled to you from time to time. When I was preached to, it was through a sister, my sister's mate, elder sister's mate, brought me into the church. And then gradually, as I was fellowshipping with them, all of a sudden, somewhere deep down in my heart, it was being unveiled in my spirit that I was called to do the work of God. But I didn't know how, when. But I knew I was called. It was not so clear at the beginning, but I knew I was called. So I thought I would be a pastor in that ministry. The more I fellowship, then gradually it was unveiled. No, not in this ministry. I've called you as an apostle to reach young people first. Ah, so it became thick. As I still finish, do you know that even now I still listen to God? I still hear more. I still hear. Yesterday, I still heard from God about what He has called me to do. He cannot, He won't give you everything at once. He doesn't do it. Those who are hot bed, they are still hearing. Because God will be unveiling it now, at this stage. Now, this is the next thing you're going to do. Now, you are in another phase. This is what you do for me. Now, He will be unveiling it. So, if you cut that fellowship, then you've cut up yourself. So, do you hear? And then, if you're distracted with worldly things, you will be deaf to Him. That's why you'll just be going astray. You won't know. You'll just be going astray. You won't know. You are deaf to Him. Even when He's trying to communicate to you now, this is the time to move. It's time to move now, next level. Some people, God has tried to communicate. It's time to move to that church. It's time to meet this person. It's time to talk to this fellow. He wants to help you with your destiny. It's time now. It's time. They are not here anyway. They are dead. Carried away with worldly things. They are watching Shanshan on TV. Shanshan. They have all those things. They are thinking, they are meditating about the Shanshan. That Shanshan is so beautiful. You see, all these things are calling you. The Holy Spirit is there, wants to talk to you. But Shanshan has, the voice of the Holy Spirit is drowned. You are too carried away with worldly things. You sleep, you are hearing those songs again. My baby, my baby, my baby, my baby. I love you, I love you. My baby, you turn like this. My baby, my baby. Then finally you bring out your phone, you play it and say, I love this song. That's why. You see, you're getting yourself in more trouble. You are different from the world. You are a Christian, and God has planned something for you to help yourself. Find out what He planned for your life and begin to work in it. Don't waste your time following those that they are already fulfilling their plan. I don't want to mention names, but you know them. Those ones that you follow too much on social media. I may not be able to get their names right anyway, but on TV and so on. All those people, they are fulfilling their plan. In the whole thing, that does not mean they are going to heaven. See, of course, they are not, but they are just fulfilling their whole role. They are there to fulfill that role, because there are those that will never accept Christ, and yet they have to live in this world. So those other ones are there to keep them busy. I believe you know that. Say hallelujah. They say, are you saying that I cannot do this and still not make heaven? I am not saying so. I'm not saying, therefore, that every entertainer is going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that they are headed for heaven. Judge in yourself. Even if the guy says, Jesus, I love you. Even if he does the sign of a cross before he plays the football. Even if he does the sign of it. And by the way, there are children of God playing football. Excuse me. Are you aware? There are. There are. The guy may just be there, and that might just be his business. But that guy may be a support, a big support. Maybe that's what he's called for. A big support in a church somewhere. There are some people that they are just there to support a church. Their money is doing something there, but their work is footballing. So that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just trying to let you know that if somebody is singing, my baby, my baby, my baby, and you say he's a Christian, it's God's perfect plan for his life. He's not, though. Is not. That one cannot be. Why? Because that's not good with God. Lift your hand and talk to God. If you want God to show you, to reveal to you what He has called you to do, just pray with tongues so that He can make that imprint in your heart. He can make it deeper. That's on the one side. If you already know but you're not doing it, tell the Lord to help you. Tell the Lord to help you. And if you already know and you're already doing it, tell God, Lord, more grace. I don't want to miss it. It's useless missing it. I would never live a wasted life. Never. Never. Liga sata bashta go rapade sonte liga shataya. Lo rata zozo go rozo shopra garase go rustapaha. Lego sande go sapara shata bakisto go rustapaha. Zira Mada Shatagara Soto Gusto Prekero.
This message was produced by Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0806-0087-643. or 0816-0114-389. Thank you and God bless you.